You're listening to WAER News at WAER.org and NPR One. I'm Katie Zolkowski. Being sensitive to light, noise, and other environmental factors can make going to see a play, concerts, and classroom spaces harder to access for those with sensory-friendly disorders. A collaboration between a museum and a professor in Syracuse is providing opportunity to learn how to make spaces and objects more inclusive. Before any visitors arrive, the exhibits are up and running at the Museum of Science and Technology in downtown Syracuse. The sounds keep your head on a swivel as you try to locate which sound comes from what exhibit, what clang comes from where. It's super interactive and engaging, but also demands a lot of sensory processing. And this can be challenging for children who have sensitivity to loud noises and bright lights.
So, for example, in the playhouse, we turn off the compression pump that like pumps the balls, so that sound is gone. We have some other, you know, exhibits that just loud and also that have the lights that we turn off. Like, you feel like you're kind of coming into the museum when it's sort of behind the scenes and it's really quiet.
Angela Gage is the education director at The Most and helps to organize the museum's sensory-friendly time. During these times, the museum lowers the volumes, dims the lights, and shuts off air compressors so those with sensory challenges can still enjoy their visit.
I mean, I see it as an opportunity for us all to sort of think about and say, what is it like to be in somebody else's shoes? It just will grow people as individuals, but institutions and communities to sort of think about what other needs are and broaden the opportunities that are available.
The Most also offers sensory-friendly kits, so access to the museum isn't restricted just to designated times. The kits are filled with a variety of items like mirrors and headphones and even a ball.
We did do like research before we decided to put what to put in this bag. I went to a conference, I think, in California, and we were sitting around the table with other museums, and they were talking about how they had the sensory-friendly kits, and that's what gave me the idea that we should get them here at our museum.
The bag is not bigger than an average tote, and it's not that heavy either. But the multiple devices included in the bags highlight how individualized sensory disorders can be. Industrial design professor Dr. Louise Manfredi had her students at Syracuse University design device prototypes for children who have difficulty with light, sound, or touch.
Group of my students develop noise cancelling headphones, or at least loud noise cancelling headphones that sat within a beanie. The idea was that if a child is very agitated by loud noises, and the idea is that the child could wear their hat, which is an inconspicuous item, and it would have this technology inside it.
Dr. Manfredi even had some of her class attend the sensory friendly nights at The Most.
Really built an appreciation for, I guess, the severity of the conditions that some of these children and their parents face. And just to observe and to understand how they are perceiving the world around them was pretty humbling, actually.
Manfredi says the sensory-friendly nights and kits are a good start to inclusive design. But the tools designed specifically for sensory disorders can be expensive.
You know, my students did a lot of research into products that were designed specifically for sensory processing disorders, and most of their feedback was, well, they were horrified that they were so expensive. They seemed very exclusive just to that community, and they believed that, you know, products should be designed for inclusivity, you know, universal design.
Manfredi says the Most accommodations send the message that even though the place isn't designed specifically for people with sensory disorders, the museum staff is working to make sure they feel welcome. And Manfredi says there is a long way to go in both design and empathy building to reach truly inclusive spaces. But training designers from the beginning to think of everyone and modifying existing spaces to make sure more people can enjoy them is a good start. Katie Zolkowski, WAER News. For more on this and other local news stories, you can visit our website, waer.org.